I really do want to help you tonight. The Lord's given me a message. Sometimes I have messages that I've preached, and the Lord has allowed me to preach them in different places, but the Lord gave me a message for here tonight. And I've never preached it before. I never took a shot at it before. And I need to deliver my heart to you tonight. Are y'all nervous?
No.
I'm nervous. Praise God. I guess I'm nervous enough for everybody then. I'll read you a poem. I like this stuff. I found it looking around in a book I had. It's got a real sophisticated title. It's called He Stubbed His Toe. Praise God. Did you ever pass a youngster who had done and stubbed his toe and was sitting by the roadside just a-crying soft and low, a-holding of his dusty foot so hard and brown and bare and trying to keep back his tears that was gathering there? You hear him sort of sobbing like and sniffling of his nose, and you stop and pat him on the head and try to ease his woes. You sort of treat him kind-like, and first thing you know, he's up and off a smile and clean forgot he stubbed his toe. You know, along the road of human life, you'll find a fella going slow, and like as not, he's some poor guy who done stubbed his toe. He was making swimming headway and bumped into a stone. His friends kept hurrying on, and they left him here alone. He ain't sobbing and he ain't sniffling, and he's too old for sobs and cries. But he's grieving just as earnest if it only comes in sighs. And it does a lot of good sometimes to go a little slow and speak a word of kindness to a guy that stubbed his toe. You can't tell yourself when there ain't no way to know when it's going to come your turn to slip and maybe stub your toe. Today you're bright and happy in the world's sunlight and glow. But who knows about tomorrow, about freezing and going through the snow. The time you think you got the world the tightest in your grip is the time you'll find that you're the likeliest to slip. And it's mighty comforting sometimes, I know, to have your brother stop and help you when you've done went and stubbed your toe. Praise God. You know, We're God's children, and I'm grateful to be among God's children tonight. And I found out that song that my brother was singing about sometimes being on the mountain, and sometimes, and he told us sometimes he had money and sometimes he didn't. Sometimes I've been well and sometimes I've not. Almost 2 years ago now, I was on a walker. I couldn't get around without a walker. Praise God, I would have to lay in the bed over 20 some hours a day. I would have to be in the bed. And they try to run all kinds of tests and run all sorts of things. And they found some spots on my brain. I'm glad they found a brain. Praise God. They found some spots on my brain and different things, but they never could really put their finger on it. But in April the 25th of 2010, my God came down to our house up on the hill over in Cape and Bridge, West Virginia, and he touched me. Praise God. He touched me, and I put away my walker. He touched me, and I put away my cane. Praise God. I hadn't been able to drive a car in 18 months. My wife had to drive me everywhere I went, and when I finally could get anywhere at all to the house of God, she would have to drive me. Sometimes we'd be going down the road, and I'd just head over. I'd be trying to eat and just fall over in my plate. But glory to God, my Lord touched me. Praise God. And tonight, I'm standing here, and by the grace and the mercy of my almighty God, amen, I'm glad. Praise God, I'm glad that my God, amen, is still in business. Praise God. I appreciate him. I love him. Lord of God, let me preach to you for a little bit and let you go. In Psalms chapter 84, I'd like to read verses 8 through 12. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Verses 8 through 12. This is a psalm of David. And in this psalm, amen, in the last portion of it, David reveals a desire of his heart. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Praise God. Would you help me pray? Heavenly Father, we're grateful, Lord, for your precious word. And we're grateful, Lord, for all that we've heard this night, God. Every song, every testimony, Lord, we're grateful, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd smile upon me and help me to preach tonight, Lord, what you've given me. And Lord, hearts would receive your word, God. And that you would bless this altar, Lord. Let it be the best place, God. The highest part of this service, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you for standing. David said in verse number 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Praise God. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I've said it often that a good day in the world couldn't even compare with a bad day since I've been saved. Praise God. The change that God has made in my mind and in the way that I think and the way that I do and the way that I feel, even in the times when I was so far down, it was still a better day than the best day I had when I was lost. I'm grateful for the Lord and all he's done, but David didn't just end it there. Amen. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We're talking about a king here who says, amen, it'd be better for me to be the keeper of the door in the tabernacle of God. Amen. Than it would be to go and be a wise man or be a wealthy man in the tents of wickedness. Praise God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Praise God. I want to preach you that tonight. I want to preach on the doorkeeper. Glory to God. In the Old Testament, the doorkeeper word means and was rendered only one time like this. Amen. This one particular psalm is to stand at or to guard the threshold or the entering place of the tabernacle. Praise God. The man that stood by the door. Hallelujah. Did you know Samuel was a doorkeeper in the house of God? In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 15, Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was a doorkeeper, Brother Brent, in the house of God. Glory to God. In the Old Testament, amen, being a doorkeeper meant that you were being part of the most wonderful things that happened inside the house of God. Because the Bible said in Exodus 29 and verse 32, there shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle. Praise God. And he said that there, even at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, is where I will meet you to speak there unto you. And I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. Glory to God. He was saying, I'd rather be in a place, amen, where the sacrifice of God is and the sanctified glory of God has changed the way that the meeting looks. Praise God. And I'd rather be, amen, right where God's moving. I'd rather be right in the midst of where things are going on for the Heavenly Father, amen, than have all, amen, of this world and die without the knowledge of knowing the Holy. Praise God. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Amen. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I'd like to be there where the sacrifice is. Amen. I'd like to be there where the glory is. I'd like to be there where God said, that's where I'll meet you at. Hallelujah. Amen. Also in the Old Testament, amen, there at the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 9. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. Praise God. And the glory, the Shekinah glory came down at the door of the tabernacle. Leviticus chapter 3 and verse 2. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering, and he shall kill it at the door of the tabernacle. Praise God. God, the place of sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 4 said, and he shall bring the bullock into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest shall anoint, the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary, and the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Hallelujah. What it's saying here is, amen, of all the things that's going on, amen, it's where God met his people at. Amen. There where the sacrifice was brought in, and there where the presence of God was, there where the glory of God came down, amen, was at the door of the tabernacle. David said, I'd like to be right there, amen, where it's all going on, amen, where it's all happening, where it's all, I'd like to be immersed in the presence of an almighty God.
Oh, yes, come on now.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. There was time when the doorkeepers were absent. When David tried to bring that, the Ark of the Covenant back up and use the new cart. Did you ever realize in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 23, at the solution to bring the Ark up, this is part of the solution. And Berechiah and Elkanah were doorkeepers for the Ark. The priests that blow the trumpets before the Ark of God, and Obadiah and Jehiah were doorkeepers for the Ark. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the Old Testament, all the doorkeeping was surrounded. Amen. It was kept by the articles of God. It was surrounded around the tabernacle of God. In the Old Testament, all religion, amen, was situated around the tabernacle. Praise God, the things there, the altar, the laver, all those things were so basic, amen, the priority was there inside of the tabernacle. And David said, I'd like to be the guy back at the door. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stay with me just a minute. I want to help us. Praise God. But you know, the doorkeeper's job was not all glory in the Old Testament. For in Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 24, you shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut. Neither shall you make any offering thereof in your land. Neither shall from a stranger's hand shall you offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them and blemishes be in them. And they shall not be accepted for you. Did you ever think who was the guy that stopped that from coming into the tabernacle?
Yeah, the doorkeeper.
The doorkeeper. Yeah. The laws concerning the sacrifice. Amen. The look at that lamb when it came in the door. The fellow that looked at that sacrifice and to see if it should come on beyond the threshold. That was the doorkeeper. And then the responsibility of the doorkeeper, amen, would weigh on your soul. Praise God. That's not all. Amen. For the Bible says also, I'm trying to help you. In Leviticus chapter 21 and verse 17, speaking to Aaron and say, whosoever he that be of the seed of this generation that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man that he hath that hath a blemish, he shall not approach a blind man. The doorkeeper had to stop the blind man.
Come on.
A lame. He that hath a flat nose. Or anything superfluous. You know, I wouldn't have been able to get in the house of God. I'm just covered up with ugly. Hallelujah.
Come on.
A flat nose. You couldn't get in. I mean, praise God. For whosoever, or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed or crook-backed or a dwarf or hath a blemish in his eye or be scurvy or scabbed or no man that hath a blemish shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord. He shall not go into the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he hath a blemish. Oh, that's the Old Testament. Come on and help me preach a minute.
Come on now.
And the Old Testament doorkeeper, praise God, when the blind man come, he'd have to be stopped at the door.
Yeah.
When the lame man come, he'd have to be stopped at the door. When the man with blemished appearance come, do you realize that you're born with some of these things? It's not something that you did. Sometimes it was accidents that happened that caused you to be crook-backed. Amen. Or broken in your legs. Praise God. It wasn't anything you did. It was not concerned with sin at all. But it was at that time. Amen. God was using that as a type and a shadow of sin. Amen. Entering in. Praise God. But you know, amen, that right now, David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Praise God, the house of my God. Amen. He wasn't only speaking of the Old Testament. Amen. He was speaking by prophecy farther than that. Amen. Because in the New Testament, amen, there's a doorkeeper also. Amen. In the New Testament, amen, they're called a porter. Amen. A doorkeeper in the New Testament. Praise God, in Matthew chapter 16. But who say that I am? Simon Peter said, amen, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but unto my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And he said in verse 19, I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. Do you know what a key is for? Hallelujah. Come on, help me preach a minute. Do you know what you use a key for? Amen. You don't use a key to turn on the water heater. Amen. You don't use a key, amen, to turn on the lights. Amen. You know what you use a key for? It's to get in the door. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, I'm going to give you the keys. And you know when he said that? And he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound, and whatever you loose shall be loose. What he's saying is you can lock up what you want to. Amen. And let go what you want to. Amen. I'll give you the keys to open the door. You can open it and you can close it. Hallelujah. You're a doorkeeper. Praise God. You're a doorkeeper. Amen. Not only Simon Peter, and for the word of God said in Matthew chapter 18, verily I say unto you, speaking to all 12, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Praise God. And John chapter 10 said, and verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And that's the doorkeeper. Hallelujah. The doorkeeper opens up the door. He has got the key. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. I'm about to where I want to preach. I hope I ain't bored you getting there. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. Hallelujah. I am the door. Praise God. Even when you're looking by, amen, the spirit of prophecy, and you're saying, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Amen. You're looking at things that are present. Amen. But the Holy Ghost is talking about things to come. Praise God. Would you like to be a doorkeeper in the house of God? If you're a child of God, you are a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. You got the keys of the kingdom. You know that old song? I got the keys of the kingdom. I got the keys of the kingdom. And the devil can't do me no harm. Hallelujah. Great God in heaven. What he's saying is, amen, you have an influence. Praise God, your life, amen, becomes a door that opens or closes. Amen to all those that are around you. You are the door. You are the keeper of the door. Praise God, when you become a child of God, and the Spirit of the Lord resides in you. Amen. Did you know that the Lord lives in you? Praise God. Do you know that the God of heaven lives inside of you?
you. Amen. That's the reason you live better than you used to live. And you talk better than you used to talk. And you walk better than you used to walk. It's because you ain't doing it by yourself. He lives in you. Praise God, that door lives in you. Amen. But you're the keeper of that door. Amen. Your hands, what they do, leads others in the door. Your mouth, what you say, it leads others to Christ. Your feet, where they walk. Amen. You, amen, have keys. I mean, not keys like my normal keys. I mean, spiritual keys. Amen. That turn things on in a spiritual realm. Oh, dear brother. Amen. When somebody, amen, that you know is looking at your life, what they're seeing in you is you're a doorkeeper. Or some change has happened to you. And they watch you. And they watch you. Praise God. What they're really watching is that door that lies inside of you. And they're wanting to know, will that door open for them? Will that door open for them? We are all doorkeepers in the house of God.
Hallelujah. I worked in the coal mines in Virginia. I worked in the coal mines in West Virginia. I worked in the coal mines in Kentucky. Praise God. When you go down underground and you're digging coal, you have an artificial way of getting ventilation, oxygen down there to you. But if you have an explosion inside there, they route the air a particular way through the mine. And inside that mine, they have doors in different places. And they call them the escape hatch. Hallelujah. And it's so when that explosion happens, amen, inside that escape hatch, amen, are things that cause you to be able to make it for a while until the rescuers come. Hallelujah. I worked with men before. Oh, brother Jim Osborne. Amen. He didn't. I'm big old country boy, big old hillbilly boy. Amen. Like me. Praise God. He had a bicep on him. Looked like cut out of an oak tree. Hallelujah. And he just I'm big old strong man. I work with him and his brother Johnny. We rode to work every day in an old four-wheel drive, a Chevrolet pickup. I was lost. Amen. I was an atheist before I got saved. Hallelujah. I didn't believe in God. At least I said I didn't. Amen. I had no religious preference. Put on my dog tags when I was in the military. And they said, how do you want to be buried? I said, throw them in a hole. It ain't going to make no difference anyway. But them two Osborne boys, amen, one of them drove and one of them sat on the other side. Amen. They preached to me going down the road. Hallelujah. I didn't know I'd got a ride with a couple doorkeepers. Praise God. They got me inside that truck and they began to talk to me about somebody that I wasn't raised with. Somebody called Jesus. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Amen. And started talking about Jesus. I began to see him. Amen. I heard that old door rattling. I heard them keys are rattling. And I began to hate what I was doing on the weekends. I began to hate who I. Hallelujah. Y'all helping me preach a minute. Glory to God. I remember Brother John has gone to glory. Now Brother John is a couple years older than me. Amen. But the Lord took him in his 40s on to glory. But I remember Brother John. We was raised poor. Hallelujah. I remember. Y'all know what RFC and the moon pie is, don't you? We stop on the way home from the mines and get us an RFC and the moon pie. Praise God. Them old RC bottles where you had to pop the lid off of, not the pull tabs, the ones where you had to go in the cooler and pop the side of it off, you know. I watched every time you got a hold of that bottle. I watched Johnny. Praise God. Because every time he'd take a drink, before he'd ever take his first drink, he'd hold that bottle up and he'd say, thank you, Jesus. And I watched him. I wanted to mark the day when he didn't say that. I work with them boys. 32, 34, 36 inch coal. We crawled everywhere we went. I watched them. I watched them when their back was laid open with a roof bolt, and I wanted to hear what they had to say about it. Hallelujah. And I heard them say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I didn't know any gospel songs. I didn't know there's no New Testament. I didn't know there's 66 books in the Bible. I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't even know the Lord's Prayer. But I know that I was with somebody that's different than me. Come on, help me preach a minute. Hallelujah. You know, often a preacher
can't be a doorkeeper to your folks. Sometimes folks think preachers are different or something other. And I know since I got to be a preacher, some folks treat me different. Praise God. And I know there's a remarkable and should be honor given unto a minister of God. But they shun me too. Because they think that I'm something. Yeah, y'all know what I mean. I rode with them boys, and I'd run from a holiness preacher. But them two old Osborne boys, they just like me. Hallelujah. They got to writing, Jesus loves you, on the rock, where I'd go in every day to roof bolt. Praise God. Y'all help me preach a minute. You are a doorkeeper. You are a doorkeeper. The pastor's a doorkeeper. Yes, that's true. That's true. But you are a doorkeeper. Your life means something to those that are around you. He used to play an old song. I don't know. I wasn't planning on going this way, but I'm just going to go on this way. I know any gospel songs. I know country and western songs. I know some rock and roll songs. I knew a few blues songs, but I know any gospel songs. Amazing Grace. Ain't no grave. My father-in-law used to get drunk singing it. Praise God. That's all I knew. But there's an old holiness preacher down that area by the name of Joe Gross, and he'd made a little singing tape. And they'd play that thing on the way to work, and they'd play it on the way home. Is there a truck? Play whatever they wanted to. But that song, one particular song, he got in there and sang. He sang, King Jesus, I know you hear me when I pray. When I'm down here in trouble, Lord, send an angel by my way. And the doorkeepers just kept on working on me.
Come on now.
And they kept on working on me. And they talked about that door. I went to a church. And they made an altar call. Preacher come back and talk to me and try to get me to come. Jim and Johnny had finally talked me into going to church with them. I went into the church and they talked. The preacher done good, I reckon. He was soaking wet when it got done and come back and asked me to come and pray. I just said no. But when they walked away from me, I wanted what those fellows had. When they walked away from me, you know how we are in altar service when you're dealing with the lost. There's a bunch of lost there, and they were singing Coming Home or The Old Rugged Cross. I really don't remember, Brother Nathan. All I remember was that I sent this plea up to God from an atheist. And I said, if you really are God, would you make that song leader quit singing what he's singing and sing King Jesus? Has a strange look. Clyde Quick was playing the piano. Ray Van Dyke was playing the guitar, and Ray was just singing. I didn't know who they was then. Ray had this, he wore old black, you know them old big black rim glasses that we all used to wear? He wore them big black rim glasses. And when I said that, there's a strange look come over his face. And he went over to Clyde Quick, and he said, whispered something other to Clyde. Clyde had this strange look over his face. And he went back to the pulpit and he said, I don't know why I need to do this. But I said, here it goes. King Jesus, I know you hear me when I pray. I got up from that seat like I shot from a cannon. Woo! I want to go through that door. I want to go through that door. I want to know that door. Praise God. I want to know him the way them boys know him.
I want to weep and cry the way they cried. Praise God. You know you're a doorkeeper. And a doorkeeper's responsibility doesn't stop right there either. I was in the house of God, didn't even know how to worship God. I sat behind old big Jim Osborne, looked like he's cut out of a tree. He been big old, he was a man. I'm telling you, he's a man. Praise God. And he was a strong man, a mighty man. I watched him as a power of God. He stood up. Amen. I watched him as tears rolled down his cheeks, so I stood up. Praise God. I was learning how to worship. Amen. Watching the doorkeeper. Hallelujah. I watched him. I watched him as he stood up, and I stood up, and the same thing that caused him to weep began to cause me to weep. Praise God. I seen him raise his own big hands up to heaven. Hallelujah. And I raised my hands up to heaven. I was just following the doorkeeper. Praise God. He got out of his seat and started walking around the altar. Amen. He got out around the altar, and I saw him. His hands began to shake under the power of God, and I said, I'm going after him. Hallelujah. And I went out and through the door again. Praise God, this time when I went through the door. Amen. The power of God began to shake my mortal body. And a spirit began to quicken me. Glory to the Lamb of God. I was following a doorkeeper. You're somebody's doorkeeper. You're somebody's doorkeeper. Somebody's watching you. Somebody's looking at you. Somebody's learning from you. Amen. Walk close. Walk right. Walk upright. Get closer to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was there one time and built an old Bradish, that's what they called it, inside to direct the air in the mines. And we didn't have a regular door. They made a regular cased iron door, a carbon steel door that you could put in there for an escape hatch. We didn't have one. So we had no piece of conveyor belt. We took an old piece of conveyor belt and we nailed it up over there. And Jim wrote on there, escape door, D-O-R-E. You know, I don't think a world, I don't think no less of him. Listen to me, doorkeeper. Sometimes the devil makes you think that you got to know everything and be everything to be an influence. That's the farthest away from truth you ever heard. If you've been saved today, you're already an influence. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
You're right, brother.
Oh, glory, 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 glory. Let me read you something. Praise God. Praise God. Back in the Old Testament, amen, a doorkeeper had to stop folks from coming in. In the New Testament, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meekly and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and he that heareth say, come, and he let him that's athirst come, and whosoever will. Whosoever will. Well, aren't you glad you don't have to stop folks from coming in?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad we have the opposite responsibility? We got to bring them in, glory to God. We got to pull them in. Amen. We got to influence them in. Praise God, we got to love them in. Amen. Oh, come on now, hit me just a minute. I'm telling you, a doorkeeper is the most blessed thing that you can ever be called. Amen. The house of God. Amen. For in it, amen, and the Spirit of God that lies within you, amen, bears witness to those that are outside and those that are hurting. Amen. And you become a tool of God. Amen. To bring them into fellowship with the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody who ever gets a song on their heart, would you do that? I'd appreciate it. Praise God. Let me tell you what this door is. Jesus, my door.
He's Christ for sickness and Christ for health. He's Christ for poverty and Christ for wealth. Christ for joy and Christ for sorrow. Christ today and Christ tomorrow. Christ my life and Christ my light. Christ for morning, noon, and night. Christ when all around gives way. Christ my everlasting stay. Christ my rest. Christ my food. Christ above my highest good. Christ my well-beloved, my friend. Christ my pleasure without end. He is my door. He is my door. He is my door. Hallelujah. A lot of men might say you have a great opportunity. He been laying before you in some other kind of work or some other kind of thing. I'm telling you, I'll just stay with my door. I'll just stay with the door. Hallelujah. I tried to live right before. Amen. I tried to do better before. But my do better's never worked out until I walked through the door. And once I got inside that door, I got power and I got mercy and I got grace. Do you have, would you like to walk inside that door?
Oh, come on now.
Hallelujah. Christ my Savior, Christ my Lord, Christ my portion, Christ my God, Christ my shepherd, I his sheep, Christ himself my soul doth keep, Christ my leader, Christ my peace, Christ that brought my soul's release, Christ my righteousness divine, Christ for me, for he is mine, Christ my wisdom, Christ my meat, Christ restores my wandering feet, Christ my advocate and priest, and Christ who never forgets the least.
Glory.
You know, they won't let me in the White House. They won't. There's a lot of places they won't let me into. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough connections. But I can go in this door. I can go in this door. I used to be a drug addict. A lot of my life I don't remember. It really is. Robert Newell wrote the song at Calvary. They called him Bob Newell, back in the late 1800s. He was a prodigal son. He's from a good family. He turned his heart away from God. His daddy wrote to R.A. Torrey, Reuben Torrey, at the Moody Bible Institute and begged for his son a place. R.A. Torrey wrote back and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Newell, but your son doesn't measure up to what we need here." And his dad was brokenhearted. He sat down and wrote another letter back to Brother Torrey. He presented his case again. He said, "Listen, you got to help me. You got to help me. My boy is lost." And R.A. Torrey, one of the only times that he ever done this, he let Robert Newell come to Moody Bible under one condition: that you obey the rules. He said at first he thought it was the biggest mistake he ever made, because that boy was just lost as he could be. And every day he come into R.A. Torrey's office and he talked about all the things R.A. Torrey wrote. He said, "I didn't think he was listening to a word I said until a service just a few days later. Robert Newell walk through the door." And every time an R.A. Torrey would talk to him, he's shaking the keys.
Oh, yes.
Bring them a little closer. We don't know Robert Newell by name too often, but he wrote a song we sing at Calvary. "Years I spent in vanity and pride, not knowing that my Savior was crucified." Hallelujah. If you asked Mr. Torrell, Mr. Newell, and Mr. Torrey, Mr. Newell would say, "R.A. Torrey
was a doorkeeper. Hallelujah. Revelation says, stands at the door and knocks. Praise God, isn't it strange? The door is standing at the door and knocking. And what is this second door then? It's the door of your heart. And you are the keeper of that door. Have you thought about opening the door? Have you thought about opening that door? And let the Lord of glory come in. There's a doorkeeper psalm. Did you realize it? The doorkeeper psalm is Psalms 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O your gates, even lift them up, your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And he's calling to you tonight. Open the door. Open the door. Open the door of your heart. Open the door of your soul. I'll come in and I'll sup with you, and you can sup with me. And I'll make all the difference in your life. I'll be your friend. When everybody else walks away, I'll stick with you. Hey, but I'll be with you. I won't turn you aside. I'll be there in the midnight hour. I'll be there in your tears and your grief. I'll be there when no one else can be there. I'll understand when no one else does. I won't pull you aside. Amen. Just to leave you alone. I'll stay with you. Amen. The Bible said, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm talking about the door of heaven. Hallelujah. Pray. Would everybody stand? Heavenly Father, I've done my best to preach, Lord. I own its falterings and failures, Lord, and all the things that it's not, God, they're mine. But you gave me this message, Lord. Somebody here, Lord, somebody here. I know. God, would you help them? Would you touch them, Lord? Give them strength, Lord, to answer the door. Give them strength, Lord, to grab a hold of that knob and turn it, Lord. Give them strength to make that first step. In Jesus' name. The door swings from your side. You got to let him in from your side. Spirit of God is such a gentleman. Just, I don't know y'all. I don't know y'all. I'm just preaching my heart. Praise God. If you're all saved, that's wonderful. If you just listen to me.
Just as close.
Would you come home? All your life. All the things that you get involved in. That you try to fill this emptiness inside won't work until you let the door, until you open that door. Jesus, come in. Jesus, come in. Oh, lift the burden, forgive all my sin. Come.
conquer, O mild one, my heart so wild. Take now and cleanse and make me your child. Open your heart's door to Jesus. He's standing near, waiting to hear your heart's confession. And he'll take possession if you'll just open up the door and let him in. Praise God. Not saved. Praise God. I'd do it for you if I could, but I can't. You have to do it.
There's comfort in closeness.
Praise God. Saints of God, would you come? Come on to the altar, everybody. All over the building. Praise God. Knock at the door. Could ask.
Out in
He's asking.
The darkness,
would you let me in?
From the fall,
would you let me in?
Child, child, there's comfort.
You're meant to serve Him.
In closeness.
You're meant to serve Him.
Walk just as close.
You're
as
meant to serve Him. You know these folks love you here. I can tell it. I've just been here one time. I can tell it. They love you. I can tell they'd do anything in the world they could. God help you. Just one thing here you got to do for yourself. You got to make this move. And it's a good move, friend. It's a good move. I don't know what. I don't know how to tell you how good it is. But it's a good move. There's a life waiting here for you that you cannot fathom. There's joy that you're waiting here you've never dreamed about. My God's got something for you. He's got something for you.